Here in James chapter 2, it poses a famous challenge. And it says, let's jump there real quick. James chapter 2. You begin with verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" And James concludes through this entire passage, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. He even states at the end of verse 24 there, even it states, by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. When we begin to study Scripture, this is where begins some, to me, contradictions that we contradict with the Apostle Paul. Paul teaches that we are justified by faith apart from works. How do we reconcile these two things together? Jump back with me to 2 Timothy 2:15. I think it's very crucial to begin here. And over the next three or four Sundays, we're going to use a lot of Scripture because we have to compare Scripture with Scripture. It's not my word, it's not my opinion, but it's the word of God. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That right division is a dispensational Bible study. It means to cut straight. If you go back to the Greek word, which is oikonomia, and in dispensation, the Greek word is oikonomia, which is a correct division, a cut straight. And throughout the Word of God, it's dealing with different people at different times. We have to handle Scripture correctly by recognizing the distinctions God has made within it. Yes, all the Bible is for us. All the Bible can teach us. We can learn from all Scripture. Go back to Romans 15:4. But it is all not written directly to us. And that's where I think a lot of Christianity gets it wrong. Romans 15:4. The Apostle Paul said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." God's character never changes. Who God is never changes. But throughout history, He has given different instructions to different people at different times as His plan unfolded. You can go back and look at Noah. If we try to go back and build an ark today, that is not written to us or for us. Later on, He gives the nation of Israel the law. And so many people want to get tied up in the law and all that is. Today, He calls the church to live under the age of grace. And this is where we talk about rightly dividing. We have to ask, who is God speaking to? I think the most important part of distinction in Scripture is between prophecy and mystery. That word prophecy is a foretelling. He told the nation of Israel. It's a prophetic program for Israel. And then we have the mystery, the body of Christ, that was given to the Apostle Paul. The Lord had an earthly plan for the nation of Israel. Look at Acts chapter 3:21. Let's look at Acts 3:21. Again, we got to do it by Scripture. Acts chapter 3:21. Here it says, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began." So we have here prophecy being spoken. It was foretold. Again, these prophecies include a coming Messiah. The nation of Israel was looking for Jesus Christ, the King, looking for that kingdom. It comes from the Old Testament, comes from the Gospels. If you go to Matthew 15:24, Jesus says, "I am ministering to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." God also has a secret plan. It was not revealed in the prophetic time frame. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Look at Romans 16:25. So you can compare Acts 3 there to Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25 here says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. There is something that was kept secret that was only revealed to the Apostle Paul, because he says it's my gospel. He's preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. It was revealed through the risen Christ to the Apostle Paul. So we have Israel's kingdom program, and we have the church's mystery program. And we have to interpret passages in the light of whom they concern. When we begin to confuse Israel with the church, it becomes a muddy bathwater. We merge prophecy and mystery. The result is often misinterpretation and very unnecessary confusion. We have to understand the difference. Why is it so important here in James chapter 2? We talked about it time and time again, but in James chapter 1, verse 1, who is he talking to? James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. James is dealing with the nation of Israel. The book of James was written before the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul received a special revelation. If we take out the Romans to Philemon, the story just continues on perfectly. James was a leader of the Jerusalem church. He's writing to the early Jewish Christians who still cherished that kingdom hope, the hope of Israel's promised kingdom. They continued to observe God's law and the commandments, and they were still under the law program. And that's why he writes, faith without works is dead. So many people try to take James and jam it into the age of grace, jam it into the dispensation of the grace of God. But if we take scripture literally, which we should and we always need to, we cannot do that. When we rightly divide and remember James's audience and the setting, we realize he's not contradicting Paul's gospel of grace. He is addressing a different situation. He's dealing with the nation of Israel. They were looking for a father. They were looking for a king. They were looking for that Messiah. Meanwhile, when we look through the Apostle Paul, he clarified here that Gentile churches, that we are saved by grace apart from works. Anywhere you go to the Apostle Paul, he says it's always apart from works. You come to James, he says, well, it's based on works. Rightly dividing is not about cutting up the Bible or picking and choosing what we like. It's about understanding and celebrating the specific purpose God has in that scripture for different people at different times. All of scripture from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation is God's word. All of it reveals his glory, but it shines the brightest when we read it in context. As we study this next portion of James chapter 2, we need to do it with that perspective. We have to read it in the proper kingdom setting. James's message strengthens our understanding of living faith, and in no way undermines the precious truth that today we are saved entirely by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. James was written during that kingdom period in early Acts, when God's program was focused on Israel. James is writing to the kingdom saints, the Jewish believers, who had believed Jesus was the Messiah. They were waiting for the messianic kingdom that was promised to the nation of Israel. They were still under the law of Moses, living in the time when the gospel of the kingdom was being preached. So we're going to look at that a little bit. In the kingdom program, merely professing faith was not enough. Faith had to be proven by obedience. As a pastor, John Fredrickson explains, James taught something unique to Israel's program, that faith without the appropriate works could not save. Under the law, they could only be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus as their Messiah and that obedience. If we go back to every other dispensation throughout Scripture, there was always faith plus something until the dispensation of the grace of God. Look at Mark chapter 1:4. This is one of them. To me, James ties beautifully in with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is written to the nation of Israel for the kingdom program. Mark chapter 1, verse 4 said, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Again, it was part of the law. It was part of a requirement. If you ever tell me that you need to be water baptized for a testimony, I can't find that in Scripture. The only time I can find anything about water baptism in Scripture is it was a commandment, it was a requirement for the remission of sins. But that was to the nation of Israel. Look at Acts chapter 2:38. A lot of people love using this passage, Acts 2:38. Israel was called to repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is a requirement to be water baptized to receive the Holy Ghost for the remission of sins. You can go back to John chapter 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. A kingdom believer's obedience to that faith was shown by performing works required to enter the kingdom. After the rapture, there will be an earthly kingdom that's set up. Everything the Apostle Paul talks about is a heavenly kingdom. There's two different programs. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. There was a plan for the earth. There's a plan for the heavenlies. The nation of Israel will inherit the earth. The body of Christ, the dispensation of the grace of God, will go to heaven. So when we read James chapter 2, we have to begin to look at it along the light of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, along the light of the kingdom program. So let's go ahead and read James 2:14 through 17. James 2:14 through 17. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If you take this literally, which I believe you need to and you have to, it's the only way to make Scripture make sense. If we begin to spiritualize the Word of God, we're all going to have a different answer. We're all going to have a different opinion. We're all going to have a different story. We have to take the Word of God literal. James says, can faith without works save? And here his readers is no. Because a profession of faith without works is considered a dead faith that would not justify. James is not promoting salvation by works instead of faith. Rather, he assumes faith, but insists true faith for Israel's hope operates alongside of works. Faith without works is dead. It was a warning to Israelites that empty belief wouldn't profit them if it wasn't proven by their actions. In the kingdom context, again, this is for the nation of Israel. During that kingdom program, after the rapture, we're going back to the nation of Israel. We're going back to the kingdom program. The substance of their faith was belief in the coming kingdom, its Messiah, and that he demanded the obedience of works. Otherwise, their faith was not alive. We're going to continue to see this. But we have to look at this in a dispensational insight. Israel's salvation in the kingdom program was future. It was conditional. It was not a guaranteed present possession. Thus, their ultimate salvation would come when Christ returns with the kingdom. Look at Matthew 24:13. Again, we got to think of this in light of the kingdom program. Matthew 24:13. Here he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We've talked about this time and time again. This is talking about during the tribulation period. That is when all this happens. So the next event that's going to happen is the rapture. We have the 7-year tribulation period, and then the second coming. This has nothing to do with the dispensation of the grace of God. But for James, for the nation of Israel, they had to endure to the end in their faith, in their works, to obtain that salvation. If they failed to continue, they could absolutely forfeit their salvation. They have not yet received that promised salvation, that king coming down, sitting on the 12 thrones of the 12 tribes, judging. Many Jewish believers in the future tribulation will prove their faith by practical works of love. In that tribulation period, they're going to have to be taken care of, providing food and shelter to those who can't do it underneath that Antichrist mark of the beast. You can read through Matthew 25, 31 through 46. The mark of the beast is during the tribulation period. I'm not telling you to not get a chip or to get a chip. I probably never will. But again, if you get a chip today into your body, that is not a part of the Antichrist message. That is during the tribulation period. And he says there can be no salvation without these works. Their true faith is shown by their fruit. But I want to compare it to the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, so the Apostle Paul here says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you," word. The Apostle Paul was given this dispensation to him to give to us. Verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." We saw in Romans 16 that it was a secret. It was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. If Peter and the 12 had the entire gospel and the entire message, why is the Apostle Paul even being saved? There is no need for Paul. There is no need for his message. There is no need for what he's about to tell us. The nation of Israel is a different program for a different time. Ephesians 3, 4, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Here at Grace Bible Church, we believe in a mid-Acts dispensationalist. At the conversion of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 is when the entire message flipped its script. We were under law before Acts chapter 9. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." It was a requirement for the nation of Israel to be saved. Acts chapter 5, they're still converting. We still had to become proselytes. We still had to become Jews to be saved. In the kingdom program, the only way you can be a part of the nation of Israel in that kingdom program is to become a Jew, which is what they call a proselyte. After Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. He has revealed the mystery. He has revealed that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what saves us. It is faith apart from works. Not like James, not like Matthew, not like Mark, not like Luke, not like John. It is because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 11, 13. Paul is appointed. 11:13. "For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." You can even look at Acts 20. I mean, there's so many passages that talk about the apostle Paul being the apostle to the Gentiles. The 12 were for the nation of Israel. Acts 20, verse 24. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You will never find anything about the body of Christ before the Apostle Paul. You will never find anything about the grace of God before the apostles. Yes, there's faith. It was always faith plus something. Faith plus circumcision. Faith plus baptism. Faith plus, there was all kinds of things with it until you come to the Apostle Paul and he says it's faith plus nothing. Paul's message revealed that now salvation is offered by grace through faith alone. We don't have to be a part of a special nation. We don't have to have kingdom requirements. Again, covenant stipulations. The righteousness which Israel once pursued under the law is now shown to be a gift. Jump over to Romans. There's so many in Romans that talk about this, but Romans. Romans 11, 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Again, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. To me, the two biggest contradictions. Look at Romans 4, 5. And then pull over to James 2, 24. Have both of them there side by side so you can look at them. To me, they're theological opposites. We have to understand the fact that James did not believe the same gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul. James and the nation of Israel had to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and repent and be baptized for the remission of sins and follow the law. Look at Romans 4, 5. 4, 5 says, but to him that worketh not, believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now if you read James 2, 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You can't tell me that's not a contradiction. You can't interpret that any other way and say, well, yes, it's faith, but this, that, the other. It's two different dispensations. It's two different groups of people. It's two different programs. Today we are under the age of grace. The Apostle Paul says time and time again, and through the next couple weeks we're going to look it up, the just shall live by faith without the deeds of the law. In the present dispensation of the church age, the grace of God, works have absolutely zero part in obtaining or even keeping your salvation. We are not under the law. We are under grace. Romans 6, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Paul teaches that Christ's work is totally sufficient to save us, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even if we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We cannot add works to our salvation. Yes, Ephesians 2:10 talks about us doing works because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But works only frustrate the grace of God. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If the law could save us, if one of these other seven dispensations could have saved us, Jesus Christ would have never went to the cross of Calvary. If we could have fulfilled the law, if we could have had circumcision or water baptism or go back to the Old Testament, whatever, any of those other dispensations, he would have never had to go to the cross. The cross of Calvary is what solves it, what saves us. Salvation is now complete in Christ. Romans 5:1 declares the believer has peace with God. If we take James 2 for us today, can we ever have the peace of God? There's no way. Because we don't understand. It's works. Well, how many works? What do I got to do? How do I maintain? How do I save myself? We could never have peace if we take James and apply it to our lives today. Romans 8:1, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have already received. We have already been saved. We have already been complete. Good works in this dispensation are the fruit of salvation, not the condition for it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But those works play absolutely no role in salvation or maintaining or keeping us saved. We do good works because we are saved. We do good works because we love him, because of what he has done for us. Because he went to the cross, because he paid for our sins upon that cross, and because he rose again. We do good works because we are saved, not in order to get saved or stay saved. And I think it's so crucial to see, and I think this is something else a lot of people get wrong, because they want to tie James to us today. But the doctrinal difference is the security of the believer. In Israel's kingdom program, salvation could be forfeited. Failing test of works, unbelief, whatever. But under Paul's gospel, the believer's salvation is eternally secure in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A seal can never be broken. A seal you can't put on and take off and put on and take off. The minute you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we put our faith and trust in what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so many people will say, well, I can. No, he says, even a creature. You are a creation made in his image. A creature cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us. Salvation is a present possession and a work of God's grace alone. It does not depend on our continued performance. The only way possible to lose our salvation today is God would have to undo the cross. For a Christian's faith to be dead in this dispensation, the substance of their faith, Christ's work would have to be inactive, as if a dead Jesus who could not perform what he promised. It's impossible. Our assurance is not based on ourselves, it's based on Jesus Christ. It's based on God's faithfulness, not our faithfulness. Any person who has faith in the cross of Christ has full assurance of salvation because God is able to perform that which we could not. Take our sins, pay for them, atone them, and solve them. The only way to enjoy the full assurance of faith today is to acknowledge and understand the mystery that was received to the Apostle Paul. It's no longer based on works. It's no longer based on what we do. And this is where so many people go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say, well, if I don't forgive, the Father won't forgive me. The Lord's Prayer is for the tribulation period, for the nation of Israel. It is not for us today. We have to look at Scripture through right division. We have to look at it into a dispensational divide between James and Paul. It's crucial for sound doctrine. It creates many many issues. Again, we saw James addresses the nation of Israel. He's dealing with the nation of Israel. Paul writes to the body of Christ. We saw in Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. His letters come after Israel's kingdom program was temporarily set aside. Go to Romans chapter 11 this afternoon and read 11 through 25. It talks about the nation of Israel being set aside so the body of Christ can come in. If we're not careful, the gospel message can get thwarted, can get confused. The kingdom gospel for Israel was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's centered on Jesus as Israel's Messiah, the King, and the gospel of the kingdom. It involved covenant promises and faith plus certain works. But today, in the age of grace, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The preaching of the cross, the revelation of the mystery of Christ, with no nation, nothing. It's the body of Christ. Israel is faith validated by works. Under the law, a Jew's faith had to be evidenced by obedience. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James 2:18. Faith is apart from works in the age of grace. Any work added to faith negates grace. We must understand right division to understand Scripture. It's the only way for it all to come together. James' teaching about faith and works is doctrinally directed to Israel under the kingdom program. Paul's teaching on justification by faith alone is doctrine for the body of Christ today. Today we are saved 100% apart from works because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. We cannot put ourselves under the kingdom teachings. It's based on performance then. We begin to struggle with, how do I maintain my salvation? How do I keep my salvation? We have to understand who it's written to. We are justified by faith alone, completely apart from works, in the dispensation of the grace of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God, that it comes to life. Each and every time we open it, each and every time we read it, each and every time we study it, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that all we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for eternal life. We don't have to walk the aisle. We don't have to be water baptized. We don't have to give. We don't ever have to come back to church, because we know that you did it all for us on the cross of Calvary. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord. Faith is trusting what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I have to say, yes, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Yes, I know you went to the cross of Calvary. You took my sins upon that cross and you raised again the third day to give us the power of the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit seals me. He's within me. And he gives me the power to live for you each and every day. Because we want to, because of what you have done for us, Lord. We just thank you that if any of us here this morning put our faith and trust in that and in the Word of God, Lord, we have true salvation. We have eternal security. We have an understanding of Scripture, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so